Morning once again. Children, if you're ready, you can go. If not, then you can stay. We're going to be starting off in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. As we continue to look into prayer, and specifically praying for your preacher and praying for the leadership of the church and praying for preachers around the body of Christ, and the importance of that, and the importance of why that's important, or to point out why that's important, and how that's really a prayer for not just for the preacher, but it's a prayer for the church. It's a prayer for the will of God. It's a prayer for the body of Christ and the work that needs to be done that Jesus called us to do, commanded us to do, which is to go into the world and make disciples. So let me have a word of prayer before we go, and then I'll say a couple things, and then we'll get into the scripture. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this moment we can look into your word. I thank you for this time of communion we just had together, remembering that your son, Jesus, shed his blood, and his body was beaten so that we could be free and reconciled to you, and we can look into this word anytime we choose. So, Lord, help us to learn today. Help us to see your will. Help us, Lord, to grow in Christ. Help us to grow in our prayer life, Lord, that your will would be done in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. last week we started this series, and we talked about how preachers need your prayers to be to be rescued from those in the world that may be against the message and the messenger, to be rescued against the persecution that goes on even in Paul's day, and even all the way up until today. This persecution happens around the world. It happens in different ways. It's sometimes subtle, sometimes it's not subtle, but it always comes from the same place. So they would need your prayers, the preachers and the evangelists and the missionaries and the leaders and the elders and the deacons and so on and so forth, even to your brothers and sisters in Christ who are also ambassadors for the kingdom of God and are also commanded to take the gospel into the world. We also talked about how it's important to pray that whatever God is doing in the preacher's ministry and the pastor's ministry, that it would be accepted not only by the body of Christ, but also by those around that might need to hear the gospel, which we'll talk a little bit about today. So today we are going to talk about prayer again, praying for your preacher, as was described in the book that I gave you that you might be reading. And I appreciate the fact that many of you have taken the book home, so I'm assuming that you're reading the book, right? It's a good book to read. It's some things to learn. I'm not going to preach what the book says. I'm going to preach about the things that are in the book, but I'm preaching about the scripture that's pulled out of it, and going to talk about the praying for your preacher. Now, here's something that all preachers when we go into ministry, when we go into preaching ministry, this is our big idea in our mind, that we are going to go into the world and we're going to preach the gospel, and we're not only going to preach the gospel, we're going to preach it boldly. And most of us that are even, most of us preachers who ever go to into the preaching ministry, whether it's part-time or full-time, we have a desire to preach it in such a bold way that it resembles the apostles that we read about in the book of Acts. That's what's in our heart. Okay? The first prayer, I'm just going to say this right up front, the first prayer that the church can offer to the Lord on behalf of the preachers is that they would never lose that fire. They would never lose the desire to be bold in their ministry. And we got to talk about what it means to be bold, because it's not just boldness. There's a lot of ways to be bold, and you can do a lot of harm if it's the wrong kind of boldness. Today, looking at two different parts of Scripture, we're going to talk about selfless boldness. That's what Paul was after. That's what Paul was trying to obtain. That's what his ministry was all about. It was all for the gospel. It was all for the lost souls. It was all to honor God, to bring glory to God. It was all so that God would continue to be with him and lift him up so that he could continue to do the work of God. So keep those things in mind as we read a little bit. Let me read this little illustration, or it's an illustration called Preaching Boldly. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer in England by the name of Hugh Latimer. He was known as a great preacher of his day, and as a result, he had many opportunities to speak. Once he found that he was to preach before King Henry VIII of England, as he thought about his great responsibility to bring the message before the king, he realized that the message that God laid on his heart was not the message that the king would want to hear. King little K. As he began his sermon, he said, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has the power to command you to be sent to prison, and who can have your head cut off if it please him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" He then paused and continued, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him, at those whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him, to whom one day you will have to give an account yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word." Latimer faced the choice. Would he preach what man wanted to hear, or would he preach what Christ would have him preach? Latimer did take his stand for the truth and preached boldly. Eventually, he was martyred by Henry's daughter, Queen Mary. Consequences. Consequences are, every day we face consequences or possibilities of consequences. We face options. We as believers, as the body of Christ, as witnesses to the gospel message, we have choices to make every single day. Most of the time, many of us will live our entire life and never face a situation like I just read about. But I would just submit to you that every little decision that comes across in our lives where we have to choose God's truth or the world's ways is the exact same situation. This is true for every believer, no matter what your calling is, no matter what you're assigned to in the kingdom of God, no matter how you're serving him, no matter what it is you are doing for the Lord, this is a reality. So preachers, the preachers who are called full-time preaching ministries, standing in the pulpit as I'm doing right now, desperately desire and need your prayers so that we can continue to be bold for the truth. We can continue to present the Word of God in its totality without reservation, without concern about who it offends, or how it's received, or the manner in which it might be rejected. And certainly, as we'll find out as we finish today, the prayer is that the preacher would be even less concerned about what people think about him after the message is delivered. Okay? So that's where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Let me read it really quickly, and then we'll get into verse 18 to start with. Verse 18 to 20 says, "With all prayer and petition," okay, he's just taught about the armor of God. He's trying to get the church there to understand, okay, this is a spiritual battle, not a one-on-one battle with man. And here's how we defend ourselves. And he goes through the armor of God, and then he lays this on them in verse 18. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And finally, in verse 20, for this morning, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Point number one, verse 18. Here is a three-point presentation that he's giving the church about how to pray. Period. And then he wants them to apply that to praying for him as well as the church. So the first thing he says is, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In everything that you talk to God about, you should be in the Spirit of God. I don't believe that Hebrews teaches anything other than there's only one way to go to God, and that's in the blood of Christ. Covered by the blood of Christ. If you're covered by the blood of Christ, that means you've surrendered your life to Christ and His Lordship. You've repented of your sins. You've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you've received a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way, really, to go before the Lord, our Father, the one who loves us so much that He would send Jesus to make this a possibility in our life. Praise the Lord. Jesus even said to the disciples when right before He went to the cross, look, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone, remember? He said, I'm going to send you another counselor. I'm going to give you another one that's going to come and lead you and guide you and remind you and teach you. He's going to be your helper. He's going to guide you everywhere you go. It's the Spirit of God. How could we go anywhere or be anywhere without the Spirit of God if we're saved? So he's talking to the believers. He's talking to the church here in verse 18 of chapter 6 in Ephesians. And he said, hey, first thing you need to know, the first thing you need to be reminded of is when you pray, every time you pray, in all things, pray in the Spirit. It's inappropriate to approach God in any other way. I want y'all to have some powerful prayers. I want y'all to feel like your relationship with the Father through our Savior is valuable, powerful, and special. That's my prayer for y'all. And I need to know that when you go to the Father for your preacher, that you go in the Spirit. If we're going in the Spirit and we're praying for the Lord's will to be done in this pulpit for this congregation, how can we not be like-minded in prayer? How can we not be lifting up in prayer not just the pulpit, not just the preacher, but the rest of the church also? The direction of the church, what the Lord's doing here. You individually, your homes, maybe visitors that might be coming in to sit with us, looking for God, see if God's even real. People do that still. I don't know if they do it very often, but still people come walking into a church just wanting to know, is this God stuff, is it real or not? And when they walk into a congregation of believers, a group of believers, no matter where it is in the world, and they're in the Spirit, there's a pretty good chance they're going to encounter God. That's point number one. Always in the Spirit. It's what Jesus died for, so that we could do this. We should always approach God in that serious manner. Nothing should be flippant when it comes to prayer. It should never be whenever I have time. That's why point number two is important, because he says, look, always in prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, he says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. When I first started working with the fire department years ago, I'd never been a firefighter, and I had to do a lot of training like all the rest of them did. And I learned that I need to be ready when the alarm goes off. I need to have things in advance prepared. Because if I didn't, I would be the one who shows up when it's all over with. And missed the whole event, and could not participate, could not help. I could not do what I volunteered to do. And that's just talking about firefighting. That's just talking about the fire department. We're talking about the body of Christ, y'all. We're talking about interacting with God. We're talking about talking to God about other people, about your preacher, about your elders, about the deacons, about other people in the church that are serving, the leaders and the youth ministers and whoever else might come along. Don't raise your hand and don't answer this question, but how many of y'all have ever fallen asleep praying? And the reason I say don't raise your hand and don't answer the question, because I don't think it is always this way, but I think if we're falling asleep, maybe we started too late. And I mean, maybe we should have planned ahead and said, you know what, I'm going to spend this time, and me and God's going to talk about this. And I'm not going to do it after I've spent my whole day doing other stuff. Or maybe I need to take a nap and then talk to God. Whatever. Stay awake. Jesus was telling the disciples, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's in the wilderness bleeding through his sweat pores because of the anxiety that he's feeling about going to the cross. And he keeps coming back to these fellas who are sleeping on the side of a tree. He's like, "What, y'all can't just one time pray with me?" When we pray in the Spirit, when we go to God over your preacher or over any other person or even yourself, we need to be alert about what we're doing. We need to be fully aware, totally engaged, not distracted, involved in the conversation that we're trying to instigate with our Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a person going before our Holy Father, covered in the holy blood of our Savior, and starting a conversation with him, and then yawning in the middle of it, as if you got something better to do? Just think about it, y'all. I don't know about your prayer life. You and the Lord know how it is, how healthy it is, and how great it is, or what needs to be worked on. I know about mine, and the Lord knows about it. We're having a meeting with the Creator. We should be awake. We should be alert. Because here's another reason why. Because we don't just talk to the Father that way. We listen. And if we're not alert, we might miss something. We might not hear everything. We might not see an opportunity. We might not feel the direction that he's leading us, or the answer to the prayer, or we might not be receiving everything that he would have us receive. And then the last thing, the third point in this verse, persevere in prayer, y'all. I've been here 5 years this month. Don't seem like it. And it would bother me greatly if I knew that first weekend that I was here, y'all went home and y'all got on your knees and prayed all these things for your preacher, and that was the last time you ever talked to God about it over the last 5 years. I know that's not true. I know that ain't the way it is around here. But just think about it. He wants us to continually have these meetings, continually talk about the same things with God, about your preacher, about where the church is going, about what's going on in the ministry that the preacher has been assigned to. Don't give up. Keep talking to God. Because there may be one Sunday I come in here and I'm on fire and I'm bold and I'm doing everything the Lord. I mean, like, I'm fine-tuned with the Lord. And there might be another Sunday I'm just struggling with something, or I'm not connected, or something's happening and it just ain't the way it should be. Y'all know I'm a human being, right? Y'all know that. It could happen. I'm just saying it could happen. I need your prayers, y'all. And I don't mean like when you get in the car and drive in here on Sunday and you walk in the door and then it's like, okay, let's start praying for the preacher on Sunday morning. No, I'm talking about Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. I'm not saying every minute of your time praying for the preacher. I'm saying regularly going to God, asking the Lord to bless the ministry that God assigned me to. Going to God and pleading with the Lord to give me everything I need to do what he wants me to do as a preacher. How he wants me to do it. Give me words to say, as we're going to get into in just a moment. Don't give up. Don't make it a one-time thing. The reason I'm saying that is because it's like we say, this is we in general, the church, the body of Christ, churches around the world, we say we want the church to grow. We say we want people to get saved. We say we want to reach the community. We want to love people and love God. And I believe that we mean that when we say it. The question is, are we going to God in the Spirit and praying that the preacher would be set up to do the things the preacher has to do to facilitate those things happening? Like preach the gospel and only the gospel. Preach the word of God the way it is. Don't make anything different out of it. And boldly preach it. So that the Spirit of God would have his way, not only in your hearts as believers, but in the hearts of anybody else who's not saved that would hear it. As we studied in Colossians not too long ago, the very first chapter says, look, y'all put your faith in Christ because you heard the gospel. It's the power of the gospel that's what gave you hope. And you made a decision to put your hope in Christ. That's what's keeping you alive. That's what's keeping you going. And don't forget about it. Whatever is said from this pulpit, whether it's by me or any other preacher, it should come straight from God and only from God. And since I preach every Sunday, or somebody preaches every Sunday, you ought to be praying every week for that. It ought to be on your mind at some point throughout the week. It shouldn't be a labor for you to do that, for me to do that. It shouldn't be hard for us to remember to do that, because if we're about the Lord's business, which is going into the world and making disciples, which I believe we are, I believe our hearts really and truly want that to happen, because we know that's God's will. And we want to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So why wouldn't we pray that the word gets preached in the way that God would have it preached so that people might get saved? Why wouldn't we pray that the word would get preached so that the believers would be edified and they can grow spiritually and be excited about what we're doing and get tuned into what God is saying to do in this community? Why wouldn't we pray about those things every day, all day? I thank the Lord that I know that most of you do pray for me, if not all of you. I'm pretty confident about that. I feel that. I've been feeling that since I walked into this place the first day. So I appreciate that, and I thank you for it, and I thank the Lord for it. Here's a question that you and the Lord need to talk about. And it's not a condemnation. I don't mean it that way. It's just a self-evaluation. You and the Lord do this. How often have you prayed for the Sunday message during the week? How often have you prayed for the message that's going to be preached, no matter who's preaching it? And why are you doing it? Because if we're going to be the church, the body of Christ, we're going to be part of the body of Christ, and if we're going to be the body of Christ at Oak Grove, here in Arden, North Carolina, we all need to be on the same page that we want the gospel preached, and we want the truth blasted out into this community. And that can happen in many different ways, but one of those ways is for your preacher to stand up here and do it on Sunday morning when it's time. Wednesday night when we're doing Bible study. Any other time that we can get into the community and preach the gospel, pray that it would be preached and preached boldly. How often? And the reason I'm asking that question, the reason I'm asking you to ask that question of yourself, is because it helps us understand how engaged are we in the Great Commission? How engaged am I with the body of Christ and what God's doing? How often do I think about it? And if I don't think about it enough, maybe the Lord would help me think about it more if we pray in the Spirit about it. Hello? And then the Lord would help us stay alert about it. Yeah? I wouldn't even mind if you went home on a Sunday afternoon and said, man, I think we need to pray for that preacher. That's kind of pitiful this morning. It could be true. It wouldn't be the first time it happened. I do that. I go home. A lot of times I'm like, What on earth was that about? All right? Pray for your preacher. Here's why. Here's the rest of it. Verse 19 to 20. He says, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Right? First thing he says, utterance be given to me. Don't pray that I would sit down and figure out what to say. Don't pray that I would look through the Bible and find some good text to send out to you guys and say it the way I want, some fancy way that, you know, I told a preacher Monday, was out there preaching Monday at the men's thing out way out east. We were talking about different people preaching and different things, and I just looked at him and I was like, you know, if we preachers think we're going to make up something that ain't never been said before, we're fooling ourselves. Best thing I know to do is read this Bible and ask the Lord how to share it with you what I read so that you could understand it. Not because I know something, but because the Spirit of God is working in me, and he's like, look, here's what you just read. So apply it to yourself, and then go talk to the people about how maybe they could apply it, and then help you apply it. And then all y'all prayed that I would help you with it. That's how the Spirit talks to me. Almost every Sunday morning, me and the Lord talk about today. And as I've said before, one of the biggest prayers is that the Lord would move me out of his way. Because sometimes I can't tell if I'm out of his way or not. Sometimes I'm way out of his way, and sometimes I know I'm in his way, and other times it's just like, I don't know, I'm just going to trust the Lord right here with this. So he's saying, look, pray on my behalf, pray for your preacher, pray for this, pray for Paul. He's saying that the words may be given to me when I open my mouth. He's saying, I don't want to even be allowed to put my own words in there. And he's asking that he would be prayed for in a way that would, God would help him surrender to God. Then he says to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. He's not talking about getting out of prison. He's not talking about having a better life. He's not talking about going on vacation. He's not talking about anything else other than I'm about the Lord's business of preaching the gospel. That's what I'm traveling around the world to do. So ask God to give me the words he wants me to say every time. Every time. You know, if every preacher would be able to be prayed for like that and pray for himself like that and then surrender to what the Lord would do in response to that prayer that's offered in the Spirit by the body of Christ, people would get saved every single day. And they do around the world. Not because the preacher's awesome, but because the gospel is amazing and awesome and powerful. Any one of you, if you go into this world and speak truth, you present gospel, it has the same effect in people's lives. It has the same effect. And if your preacher's healthy and your preacher's busy about the Lord's business and he's bold and confident in what he's doing, then guess what's going to happen to the congregation? It's contagious, y'all. We would become a bold gospel preaching group of people in the community. And that's all we've been called to do. That's all we've been called to do. We haven't been called to do anything else but go and put the truth in front of people. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. But one of those ways is to stand up here and preach the gospel. So y'all pray. He wants to do it boldly. Notice he says, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The only way that a person can speak boldly is if they absolutely believe what they're saying. When someone's not very confident in what they're saying, they get a little timid about it. Now, there are some good liars in the world. There's some good people that can fool a lot of people. You know, they're swindlers, or they manipulate, and they're really good at pretending to be confident about whatever it is they're saying, even if it's not true. But it's hard to talk about Jesus and lie at the same time. It can happen, but it's hard. Especially if we're praying in the Spirit together about the matter. I want to be able to read this Bible. I want to be able to stand up here and look at all of you and say, here's what we're going to talk about today. Here's the truth that God revealed to me. And then we pray and we all say amen and praise the Lord. And I want to be able to say it confidently and boldly. So I pray about that, because it's what I ought to do. Anybody who's called to preach who is not interested in doing that or doesn't see that as a priority, might as well go sit down. Go find something else to do. So that's verse 19, and then verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, there's not many things in the world that's worth going to prison over, if you really think about it. And everybody has a different opinion about that, I think. Somebody like Paul and some of the other apostles and some of the disciples after them, these people died for the gospel. They were treated horribly the entire ministry effort that they engaged in. They were beaten, they were chased, they were persecuted, they were put in prison. You name it, it happened to them because they were preaching the truth. And they never stopped doing it. Now, there's not many things in the world that you're going to keep doing if you get treated poorly over, unless you're absolutely sold out to it. Unless you believe it's the absolute truth. Boldness comes from confidence in what you believe. Confidence in what God is revealing to you. So let's pray that whoever's preaching, whoever's bringing the message, let's pray that God would give them His truth, His boldness, His confidence. Because that's how people believe what you believe. People will believe in your God. They'll believe in Christianity. They'll believe in the Bible because they look at you and they see that you believe it. They see that your preacher believes it. There's millions of churches around. People can go anywhere to find whatever they want to hear. And there's many that go into the world and they don't go to church anywhere because they don't believe anybody has the truth. Because not everybody's genuine. And if they could just find that one place where it's obvious that what they're preaching and what they're teaching is real, and they're bold about it and they're confident about it, they might consider, you know what, this might be true. This might be, finally, I might have found a place where the gospel is real, the truth is out there, and then they have a decision to make. I'm going to finish up with this right here. If we want the church to be a powerful witness in the community, we got to pray this way, y'all. You want to be fed spiritually? You want to grow? I mean, what are you coming here for on Sunday morning anyway? If you're not looking to get fed, if you're not looking to encounter a relationship with God on Sunday morning, if you're not looking to worship Him and sing songs of praise and have fellowship over communion together as the body of Christ, what else? What other reason is there to come here? If you're not here for those things, I don't know what you're here for. It's got to mean something. It's got to be for a purpose. It's not just going through the motions. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 kind of quickly. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. And finally in verse 11, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. This is 2 Corinthians. This is Paul is saying to the Corinthians, look, I'm in trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. I got a lot of problems. But God has taken care of me. God has been faithful to come and give me the things that I need. And it's all because you pray for me. It's all because you go to the Father for me and the ministry that God has given him. He started off and he's like, look, I don't want to trust in myself. I'm able to not trust in myself because I see what God does in response to your prayers. I know that it's God who rescues me. It's God who provides. It's God who gives me what I need in the effort of doing this ministry. One of the most important things y'all can do for your preacher is to just ask the Lord to help him be selfless. Help him stay out of the way. Don't ever allow his ministry to be about him. Don't ever allow his preaching to be about him. There's a lot of preachers that are really well known around the world that do great work for the kingdom. I've watched preacher after preacher as they get more and more people sitting under their teaching get in trouble spiritually because there's this thing in a man's heart that desires what doesn't honor God. Somewhere along the way, not every time, but sometimes somewhere along the way, it becomes about that man and his ministry being great because of him and not because of the gospel and not because of what God's doing. And almost every time you see him on the news because they've failed somewhere in their life. And many, many people are harmed because of that. I pray regularly that nothing happens because of me that will bring harm to the kingdom of God or this church. That's the reality of what we're doing here. That's the reality of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. You know, preachers have to understand, and we learn this the hard way most of the time. Preaching ministry is completely about relying on God for everything. All parts of it. Our personal life, our preaching life, and everything we do outside of preaching. We have to rely on God. Because, one, we can't do the ministry without that. And two, because people are watching us. And if we want the people that God sent us to lead to be healthy Christians, then we should be healthy Christians. Makes sense? I mean, that makes sense to me. If this doesn't happen, if prayers aren't offered for the preacher to be bold and confident and selfless, then his ministry will be severely disabled and almost completely, if not completely, ineffective in the church and in the community. And there's many churches also around the world that have preachers that are suffering because they're ineffective. Great guys, maybe. Something's happened. They've lost focus. Maybe they're in sin, or maybe they're just beat down and tired. And nobody's praying for them. Not even the people, not even the small group of people in their churches. You got to pray that we rely on God. I'm finishing up. I'm closing. Here's a big idea as I close. Think about this, y'all. How many of y'all ask God for something and then never look for him to respond? Nobody. I mean, it's not like you, when we go to God in prayer, it's like, okay, we spend some time after those prayers and we're just kind of say, okay, I wonder how the Lord's going to answer that prayer. I wonder how the Lord's going to work this out. I wonder how the Lord's going to make these things happen. I wonder how the Lord's going to bless me today. And it's interaction. So why would any believer around the world, why would any person who is a believer go in the Spirit to God and pray for the preacher and his ministry and the message to be preached so that people could be edified and that people could be saved and then not show up to see how the Lord's going to deal with that? Hello? Talking about Sunday morning church going. I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all are here. Think about it, though. You think about what that means. If you're going to spend some time praying over the preachers, why wouldn't you show up to see how the Lord's going to make that happen? Why wouldn't you show up and say, man, I can't wait to see how the Lord's going to make this. That's going to be awesome. And I got 6 or 7 amens right here in my pocket because I know it's going to be awesome. I mean, to me, that seems like a proper attitude for a person who's engaged in the Spirit, in prayer for the church and for the preacher and for everything else that's going on. All right, here we go. We're going to finish this up. Always pray in the Spirit. Stay alert and persevere. Continuously go to God. It's a lifetime event for your preacher. We pray for the preacher to have boldness, not just boldness, not arrogant boldness, not crazy boldness, not all about self and making me some great person boldness, but selfless boldness. Selfless boldness is all about God. It's all about bringing glory to God. It's all about the gospel being preached. It's all about saying what needs to be said, even though somebody might get upset. That's why I keep telling y'all, we're living in a world where you might just have to have a bail fund because some government person might decide to start arresting us for preaching the gospel. Who knows? God uses spiritually healthy preachers to build healthy congregations, y'all. Believe that? God uses spiritually healthy preachers to build spiritually healthy congregations. Spiritually healthy congregations go into the world and make disciples. And when people do that, when the congregations do that, they go out and make disciples, people get saved, and then more people grow and become healthy. More people start making disciples. Some of those people get called to go and preach the gospel. They get called to go into the world and be a preacher full time. That's their calling. We have a bad prayer need, an urgent prayer need in our society today. People are going to Bible college. Not many are studying to become preachers anymore. Not many are even studying to go into any kind of ministry anymore. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. It's part of the reason why we can't get a children's director over here like we're praying about. Because the colleges, both the two that are near us, keep telling me there's just not many that are studying to do that. I don't have an answer for why or how to fix it. All I know is if we go into the Lord in prayer, in the Spirit, and we ask him to raise up some people, ask him to make us healthy so we can make disciples, people start getting saved, maybe we'll find our pool of preachers there. Maybe they just haven't got saved yet. You know? Because you never know what can happen in a person's life. I was totally satisfied driving a truck. Y'all know that. And here I am standing here preaching the gospel. You don't know what the Lord's going to do. You don't know what the Lord's going to use this congregation to do for the kingdom. All I know is we're supposed to be healthy. And I have a responsibility as a preacher to contribute to that. So I need your prayers. I need it. Want it and need it. And we'll all praise the Lord together. Right? Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. If you don't know the Lord, which I think most everybody in here does, but maybe somebody online don't, you should repent of being a sinner, being a person who goes against the kingdom of God. And you should accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be part of the body of Christ. Now's the best time to do that if you haven't done it.